Well, there will be a lot of focus on this carbon tax, and I'll do my best to let you know where the pitfalls lie. Remember one thing. There is no mandate for this. Prior to the last election, Tony Abbott kept on warning 100 times. If he said it once, he said it 100 times, that this lot, he said, will introduce a carbon tax. That warning to the electorate was starting to gain traction. So the Labor Party made a deliberate, took a deliberate decision to make sure that in the lead up, right at the death, in the lead up to voting day, they would repudiate that. And therefore, Julia Gillard, the Prime Minister of Australia and the leader of the Labor Party, said this.
There will be no carbon tax under the government I lead.
But it was a concerted campaign. The Deputy Leader of the Labor Party and the Deputy Prime Minister said this.
Now, it's not possible that we're bringing a carbon tax. That is an hysterically inaccurate claim being made by the Coalition.
It's Monday, the 2nd of July. Our country run by liars. The fact that there is compensation being paid to some is an explicit statement of the damage that this tax will do. Remember, this is just today. We've already been through stimulus programs and massive wastes of money. We had Grocery Watch. Look what happened to Grocery Watch. We had Petrol Watch. Look at the petrol price. We're being ripped off every day at the Bowser. These were promises that were made to the electorate, which enabled Kevin Rudd to become Prime Minister. Kevin 07, the big hero. Julia Gillard became Prime Minister because she was going to fix up the boats. She was going to fix up the mining tax. She was going to fix up the carbon tax. Look at the mess we're in. We've seen the waste of the Building the Education Revolution. She was the Education Minister. We've seen the waste of pink bats. Four young people lost their lives. We now have a border protection regime with no protection. But it's led to the worst loss of life of probably any government policy not involving war. A gigantic experiment on border laws that has failed. We have record boat arrivals and a record number of drownings. We've gone from having three boats a year arrive to three boats a year sink. And those people who are the apologists for that policy are now the very people screaming out that something should be done. Media, I mean. The Sydney Morning Herald said when Labor abolished the Howard policy on border protection, the Sydney Morning Herald said, quote, a shameful era is over in Australian politics. The Melbourne Age said, quote, yesterday a stain was removed from the soul of this nation. No wonder these two newspapers are in big trouble. When the opposition argued that the change in border protection policy was luring people back to Australia in boats, the great Laurie Oakes on Channel 9 talked about the opposition's simplistic claim. Michelle Grattan, who's been in Canberra longer than Parliament House, said, nor so far is there convincing evidence to suggest that the changes have encouraged unauthorised arrivals, unquote. Well, of course, these people have as little credibility as Julia Gillard. As Andrew Bolt said last week, Oakes now savages Abbott for not backing a half-baked Labor notion far crueller than anything the Liberals implemented, a swap of 800 boat people for 4,000 real refugees from Malaysia. As Andrew Bolt said, and I've argued, Tony Abbott is right to say no. In all of these issues, including this carbon dioxide tax, the public have no redress. I addressed a rally in the rain in Melbourne yesterday, prior to going to the theatre. People are saying all the time, where is democracy? The public just can't have a say. In other words, the Prime Minister lies on public policy, says she wins an election, but there are two people there whose electorates overwhelmingly voted against the Labor Party, Oakeshott and Windsor, and Oakeshott and Windsor go to Canberra and support the very party that their two electorates repudiated. The public have no redress. The Rudd and Gillard Prime Ministerships overturned the Howard government's policy on border protection. We now have this chaos with people dying at sea, the country being swamped by boat people, the cost is escalating to over $1 billion a year, the public have no say. How do we address this issue? Well, on Friday, I was to launch a can-do campaign hub. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go because I had to attend a funeral in Brisbane. But this was focused on how we reverse this mess. In other words, we have the most incompetent, wasteful and deceitful government in the history of Australia. And as things stand, we've just got to cop it. We should have constitutional structures to enable us to do something about this. Julia Gillard tells lies. Wayne Swan tells lies. We hear them over and over again. We should have the constitutional capacity to do something about this. We shouldn't have to sit back and cop it. This is what the CANDU campaign launch was about. And it's about making sure that representative democracy will always prevail. That is, government of the people, by the people, for the people, will always have, should always have, the people in charge. The people should always have the upper hand. One of the architects of all of this is the eminent Australian Professor David Flint. He's the chairman of the CANDU campaign, the head also of Australians for a Constitutional Monarchy. He's on the line. Professor Flint, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for your time. To put it in language that people understand, this is a campaign to ensure that the politicians are our servants, not our masters. So you're calling for the next federal government to establish an elective convention.
That's right. The convention should consider introducing into Australia, through a referendum, all of the tools of direct democracy, the sort of things that the Swiss have and many American states have and British Columbia and Canada has. That is, the right to recall a government which the people don't want, at least have a vote on it, the right to veto any law which the people don't like, for example, a tax which has promised not to come in and which suddenly appears on the statute books, or even the right to propose a law, for example, a law which would make it unacceptable for somebody to come here, having gone to Indonesia with their passports, and come here and say they don't have a passport. And it was going to be in our constitution. In the 1891 version, Charles Kingston, the eminent South Australian, proposed that if 20,000 people petitioned for a referendum on any act of parliament, that could then be put to the people and the people could then make a decision on that. And if that had been in the constitution, we could have very quickly stopped that carbon dioxide tax, which they promised never to introduce.
Yeah, very good. So basically, virtually another constitutional convention, and you're saying proposals from that convention to be put to the people in a referendum.
Yes, and we should follow what was established in the 1893 Corowa plan, because to avoid the politicians, it was decided then that instead of whatever the convention decided going back to the parliament and then being torn apart, what would happen would be, once the convention had decided and taken the advice of the politicians, the proposal would go straight to the people. If that hadn't been done in 1893, we would be six countries and not one, because the state politicians would have disagreed all the time.
Yes, I mean, we've got now outward manifestations of the problem, haven't we? I mean, the carbon dioxide tax is one, a mining tax, where Julia Gillard said before that last election she would release the details of the deal she did with Rio Tinto, Xstrata and BHP that she did before the election. She's never, ever released those details. A carbon dioxide tax, about which both she and her deputy lied. The stopping of the boats, she said, we will turn back, we'll end this whole boat people issue, and now it's worse than ever before. And so these issues go on and on, and the public feel completely impotent, don't they?
Yes, and if you don't get rid of a government which is absolutely hopeless, then they do terrible things. We found, for example, with this government, in a few days after that ABC program, they've effectively seriously damaged, perhaps even permanently damaged, yep, the live export industry.
Yep.
And just to go to Rio to shine in the light there among all the other environmentalists over what's being done in the seas, they're prepared to write off the Australian fishing industry.
Yep.
It's extraordinary.
And then stealing water from farmers and providing them with no compensation.
Yep.
Or taking land from farmers on the basis of some commitment that they made at Kyoto, which we had no say in.
Yes, and what you've indicated in relation to CSG mining in Queensland and a,
yep,
report that's not being made public,
yep,
all politicians have to be watched. All politicians have to know, as they know in Switzerland, as they know in many American states, that they are the servants of the people. The people are always in charge and they can always control them.
Mm. And so what you're saying is there have to be constitutional protections for democracy and for the people to be able to have the final say.
Yes.
You can't wait for the next election. I mean, look at the damage that's being done now.
Yes. They'll say, oh, this will make government unstable, which is ridiculous. Switzerland is the most stable country in the world. The politicians have always said, well, yes, it is a problem, but if you give us more money or you give us more power or you give us more time, give us 4 years instead of 3 years, or put all the parliaments under the same party, give us more power, then we'll fix things up. And, of course, none of those ever work.
No, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, you've got now out there people desperate, coal seam gas exploration, threatening farmers' land and water supplies, people still being tortured by the presence of wind farms. No, there's no air, nowhere can people go to get any kind of protection from this.
That's right. What we're asking is that people go to our site, cando.org.au, and join it. Just click on join. We'll keep them informed about what's happening and about the campaign. They can even go into the site if they want to, and they can send an email to the Sydney Morning Herald and Fairfax and Age to...
I'll give everyone that detail. I just want to come back to the point you just made then, and it's so true. See, we were told, weren't we, that four-year terms, like in New South Wales, for example, would improve government. It didn't. It didn't. And then we're told, oh, well, fixed terms will improve government. Make it fixed 4 years. Well, that hasn't.
Yes.
I mean, the people of New South Wales were driven spare over the government here. Then, as you just said then, we're told, oh, well, now, look, the way you get good government is elect a Labor government in New South Wales and a Labor government in Canberra, and that work together at state and federal level, it'll be much better for you. Well, of course, that's a complete furphy, isn't it?
Yes, and then they say give us more money or give the federal government more power and it can make decisions on the national basis.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they don't.
I mean, the people listening to you right now, which I call the people on Struggle Street, they would never have outsourced the nation's immigration program to people smugglers. They would never have said that imposing the world's largest carbon dioxide tax would lower the temperature. They would never have said that you should send as much coal as you can to China to burn it, but punish Australians for doing the same thing. They would never have closed down the live cattle export industry because of some pictures on the ABC. They would have never closed down the fishing industry just to allow the Prime Minister to have an ego trip in Rio de Janeiro. Those are the issues that you're saying the public need to have control over.
Yes, because the public have greater common sense than most of the politicians put together and a lot of the bureaucrats. And if you leave it in the hands of the people occasionally to come in and say, look, we're not going to put up with this,
yep,
we're going to stop it, we'll take out a petition and the people will vote on this and you'll get your orders from the people. You won't be telling us what to do.
Marvellous. So rather than politicians being accountable every 3 years, they're accountable every day of the week, every month of the year.
Yes, as you are.
Yeah.
Your listeners, as,
yes.
In any job, any of your listeners who are in employment are accountable to their employer.
Yeah, and as you say, Switzerland do this, and they're one of the most stable democracies in the world.
Yes, and this is the way to do it, I think.
Yes, and so if Australians are fed up, they'd sign a petition. If there's not enough support for all of that, well, it comes to nothing. That's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yes, and if that happened in Wisconsin, for example, in the state there was a movement. The bureaucrats and the public employees didn't like what the governor was doing in reducing public expenditure, so they had a petition signed, and they went to an election for the governor, and he got more votes. He was returned with a bigger vote.
Correct.
So it can work both ways.
Absolutely.
But the people make the final decision.
Absolutely.
They should be in charge all the time. Politicians should be accountable in every day of every week of every month of every year, not every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding. And, of course, that's been highlighted by the circumstances now where people feel... And so the Constitution basically is not protecting the democratic process as it should.
No, and it was going to do that in 1891. The Constitution was to contain such a provision, but the politicians ganged up and made sure that didn't appear in the Constitution when the people voted.
Wonderful. Great to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Great. A lot of common sense there is Professor David Flint. Now, what you do is you go to the website, www.cando.org.au. I'll keep you reminding you of this, and just click on to join CanDo. All you do is type in your name and your email, and that movement will keep in touch with you, and you can look there on the website at other campaigns. Sign petitions about those as well. You just go to that website, www.cando.org.au, and click on to join CanDo. And this is determination to return people power to the people.